This episode is supported by IRL, an original podcast from Mozilla, made for people who are into or build AI and people who develop tech policies. Listen to Mozilla IRL wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, and welcome to The Expansive, where we explore the frontiers of personal growth, business innovation, and technology. We believe that growth and progress come from expanding our minds, exploring new possibilities, and embracing change. My name is Sean Lewitz, and you're about to listen to a moment from one of our previous episodes. We're diving into the archives and going back to January 2023 for this week's Expansive Moment, and we chat specifically AI. While there have been many developments in this space since the episode first aired, some of the thought process around the technology still ring true today. This is episode 188 with Eric Kruger and John Sonnet.
ChatGPT reminds me of the Vuvuzela. Now, yeah. For the international listeners who don't know what a vuvuzela is, if you watch the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, it was the thing that made the crowd sound like a bee. Like, and the vuvuzela was always this thing that everybody either didn't know about or hated until they had one. And the minute they had one, they could not stop blowing that thing. It was a very addictive thing, you know? You hated it until you had it. So what to ChatGPT, what I figure out is there are two types of people. People have no idea what I'm talking about. And the minute they find out what it is, they don't get off it. It's like an addiction to the new, cleverer version of you. That's what's happened, right? So I was speaking to my friend in Dubai, and his wife was like, "He's addicted, John. He's addicted. Don't tell him anymore." And so what's happened is, like, he's asking this ChatGPT every question that he can about landlords and square meterage of rentals and diets. And he's just asking it everything, right?
It's the Google, so yeah.
It's not even Google. Yeah. It's like Google's professor. I mean, the professor of Google. And so really, I think the thing is you know, the more people understand it, the more people start to realize the incredible life-changing sort of crossroads we're at. And I did make a video. I tried to be as dramatic as possible because I wanted to get a sort of emotion out of the crowd. But the video's done really well.
You succeeded. It's gone viral. Yeah, you succeeded.
Yeah, I did succeed. I've got a lot of comments on that video. And I wrote, like, I don't want to write another book. And a lot of people were like, "No, don't say that. You know, you have to." And I honestly don't think you have to anymore. I think books have become a side result. And one thing I think took to heart was it's a book and a documentary. It's not just a documentary. It's both. But my emails have all of a sudden become a lot smarter and a lot more concise and a lot more optimistic and confident. And so ChatGPT has only arrived now. We are 3 weeks into this puppy, and it's already taken over the world. And now the ripple effects of other businesses and other spaces that are starting to pick up from this is just unbelievable. It's a tsunami. And I actually think one of my predictions for 2023 is the tsunami of AI has arrived, and get ready because the tsunami's here.
Yeah. Listen, since the sort of explosion of ChatGPT, I've just been so excited the entire time because it really feels to me like we're living in the future. Like, you moving into a world where so much of what you think you need to do is just going to be done for you by something that is way smarter than you, that has access to millions more data points, that is able to see patterns that you could even come close to comprehending, and is going to happen at almost no cost to you, you know? I think the big thing that I wanted to land for people today in speaking about ChatGPT is that the best way to approach it at the moment, it's not with fear, because that emotion is going to just make sure that you don't go and try it out. You are going to sit in the corner. You're going to watch this thing. You're going to go, "Oh, like it's just too big, too scary," and you're going to leave it. The best way to approach AI and all of this is really just to be playful with it. You know, is that no one is an expert at the moment in how to best operate AI or run ChatGPT. Like, we're seeing all these prompts that are coming out, and you're just saying, like, You were talking about tools, hey, in your inbox, like different tools. But we've seen these posts that come out where they show 50 different AI prompts, you know, and just start there. Like, just go and grab one, like, pop it into ChatGPT and see what happens. But then on top of that, you do have all of these applications that are coming out that are essentially training wheels for AI, you know. So Jasper, Copy.ai, all those kind of things, they are running off of OpenAI, so like the main platform. They're all pulling from that, but they are kind of pre-engineering certain prompts for you. So they make it easier and more accessible that you can just go onto it. I mean, Dan even wrote some of her like master's thesis. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
But you're not supposed to say that. You mean your friend. You mean your friend Daniel. Daniel Klerkstorp.
to be accurate, she rewrote it. Because like what Copy.ai is great with is like you input a paragraph of text and it'll rewrite it to make it more punctual or more, you know, for it to flow better.
Yes.
And so if you're currently sitting on the fence, just like now is the time to jump in, to immerse yourself, to be playful with it, because none of us know about this. And the only way we get better by it better at it is through repetition. So get playing. That's all I can say.
I agree. You know, I think it's incredibly exciting if you're curious about it, and it's incredibly scary if you're fearful of it. And there's no choice. You know, a lot of comments on a lot of my posts that I make about AI is, oh my, I can't stand it. It should go away. And now there's this, anti-art by AI movement that's happened, right? So like people don't want any art by AI. I'm like, guy, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not eating potatoes that are harvested by a tractor. Like, are you joking? Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's what's happened. Like, just because you're an artist, I get it. But what do you think farmers did when the tractor arrived? It's exactly the same thing. You gotta like move on and say, okay, well, what can I add to it? How can I curate it for you? Like, there has to be an extension to it. But, you know, also a lot of the comments that I see online, it's just people are fearful, you know? And so what they do is they delete, distort, and generalize. I can see it so clearly now that I've got that framework of delete, distort, and generalize. And lots of the comments on that video for me were just people doing exactly that. It's like, nope, doesn't fit into my construct. I'm going to say everything I can to fight my system. And I'm like, guy, this is what I do for a living. I extrapolate technologies into the future, and I can see it as clear as day, just like music and entertainment. It's clear. It's like so clear. Like, why? I mean, but that's my job, right? My job is to try and get people to be more confident about this. But yes, so ChatGPT is here.
And to provoke. I just want to say two quick things before we wrap on this specific topic. One is I really enjoyed Shannon's comments on your post, where she was saying, you know,
she was excellent.
Yeah, that was
great.
Big up
to you, Shannon. And very good.
I love the idea. So I'm not quite sure because this is, I'm not sure what the rating is on this podcast. I'm not sure exactly into how much detail I can go. But essentially what it came down to is that even though there are mechanical ways of extracting pleasure in the world, there's still a need for intimacy, right? And I thought that was a great way of kind of showing it as well, is that, yes, there's going to be a proliferation of content that goes out into the world. But
are you talking about sex toys?
Yeah. was my euphemism good?
I was trying to think, I can't remember that. I can't remember saying that on the comment. This comment was on Instagram. If you want to go see it on my video on Instagram about I'm not writing another book, Shannon made a great comment that she did. Yeah. So intimacy and sex toys are different.
Yeah.
GPT, what she was saying is the sex toys, but you still need that human touch. And then I thought my response was very good as well, because sex toys now are worth the same as the hair industry. So like people are using sex toys at such a rate in this today's world that it's become a multi-billion dollar industry, which is unbelievable. I didn't know that until I'd seen that documentary, but sorry, I interjected.
Yeah. So I think it's a really good, analogy, you know, to say that there's always going to be the need for a certain level of intimacy. And I think, yes, you can get ChatGPT to write you a 60,000 word book in the style of Simon Sinek with the crossover to like Stephen King. And like, it's going to be an incredible book. It's going to have lots of content, but will it have the heart and the soul? Maybe, maybe in 5 or 10 years. But there's always going to be that need for connection, you know? Who knows how that changes? Who knows how that changes?
But look, let's think about this, right? If an AI writes some music and it touches your need, let's say you're going through a breakup and it writes you a sad song. Like, it doesn't matter if a male or
Sure.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
So what then happens, which I think is the differentiator, it's not about the words, it's about the human interaction. And so that's the whole thing, is that now musicians live are much more amazing because now you're seeing a human in front of you and you're having that exchange of energy. So AI is already writing music and it's amazing music. And also remember that lots of the music that you already like has been electronically distorted. So it's been electronically distorted, doesn't affect you emotionally. So again, look, I'm provoking again, because I think that again, we're trying to find some comfort in the old. And a lot of the comments on LinkedIn was nothing better than curling up with my book. I'm like, and your grandparents still read newspapers. Do you read newspapers? No. Well, then you're showing your age. So look, it's not one way or the other. I think we will prioritize what's important to us, and we'll take it from there. But I think you had a business plan that you wanted to offer some of our listeners.
So two quick other things then. The business plan will be number two. Number one is just a very quick point. I actually saw, which was interesting to me, that OpenAI is now creating a invisible watermark. Did you see that?
That's right.
For all text that's generated through through ChatGPT. I don't think it's there yet. I think that they want to have that. And the reason
for universities and stuff.
Yeah. No. It's so brilliant. It shows you how these guys are looking at the world at the moment. ChatGPT is trained on language models, and where they got a lot of that from was from the internet. But now fast forward 5 years and everyone has been using ChatGPT to write blog posts and social media posts. What's going to happen is then if they want to keep training it, they're going to be training AI on AI. And that might become a bit of a problem. So they want to have a bit of a watermark so that when they're training the model, they can tell it exclude the stuff that has been created by AI. Smart, hey?
Very smart.
Smart, yeah.
Very smart. But also, I wonder if they asked ChatGPT what they should do. And they gave it the answer. But also, like, original. So this is my question, and I don't know the answer, is if I write a mail or a paragraph and I put it in there and ChatGPT fixes it, just like your friend Daniel from Klerksdorp has done in his masters.
Editor, please bleep out all the names.
Yes. So is that now considered ChatGPT? Because it was my original thinking, just made look more proficient with using ChatGPT. Yeah. So that's a gray for me.
That's a good question. I'm not sure how they will differentiate.
Because also if I'm writing something and I'm asking it to edit it for me and it gets a blue and it comes up and says, no, this is written by Chat. It wasn't really. It was written by me. I just asked you to make it look better, sound better.
I'm not sure how they'll treat that sort of nuance, but that's a very good point.
For much more like this, subscribe to The Expansive today. And while you're doing that, please leave us a 5-star review. You can also listen to the full episode titled How to Think About AI, first published in January 2023, right now. Remember to find The Expansive on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, and on YouTube. The links to all of which you'll find in the show notes. Until the next time, stay expansive.